Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to tonight's edition of Students for a Better Future Radio. I'm your host, Doreen Finkel, with Ruben Torres, and we are live.
How are you? Hello.
Once again, hello, everybody. Welcome to tonight's edition of Students for Better Future Radio. And folks, tonight we are going to be talking about human trafficking. And we're going to be bringing on a guest in just a few minutes. But before we go there, I do want to mention, again, to go to the sponsor. It is a 501c3 nonprofit that brings you these educational shows. We are unlike no other media, right, Ruben? we bring you issues that the mainstream media doesn't really discuss. And tonight, folks, we actually have several. And actually, before I get to that, the 501c3 nonprofit is studentsforabetterfuture.com. That's studentsforabetterfuture.com. And if you can go ahead and make a donation, that would be great. And Ruben, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. The mayor is trying to call in right now.
Okay. We'll get him on in a few minutes. And I just want to bring, before we discuss human trafficking, which is our main topic tonight, with the former mayor, Raul Gonzalez Salinas of Laredo, Texas, is also a former retired FBI agent. He would know all about human trafficking over there. I want to bring up a case that we had here in New York, in which two men escaped from a prison in upstate New York. And there is currently a $100,000 reward for these two men. One had actually killed a cop, and the other one had actually killed his boss and dismembered them. And these two men escaped by cutting through steel walls and pipes, and they escaped out onto a manhole. And so they're on the run. Their names are David Schwett, who was serving a life sentence without parole. He's the one that killed the sheriff's deputy. And the other one is Richard Mack, who's about age 48. He was sentenced to 25 years in prison for kidnapping, killing, and dismembering his former boss. So we will post their pictures on the website. We'll also post them on Facebook, so everybody can see, and hopefully we'll get these guys in jail, right, Ruben?
Correct. I mean, we have to be beware of your surroundings because they can be anywhere.
Yes, and so and this prison is a maximum security prison. It was built in 1845, so it kind of makes you wonder how they escaped. You know, and there was a show a few years ago called Prison Break. And, you know, and it's amazing how they would get through the wall and you know, and walk out of that prison. But the police, there is a $100,000 reward from Como, and there's all, it's, the reward is for information leading to their capture. And Governor Como said that they may have crossed into Canada or left for another state. So we here in New Jersey, hopefully they haven't come here. But if we do, we need to be vigilant and, you know, look out for them, keep your kids closer, your family closer, and whatnot. So... go ahead, Ruben. Amazing,
well,
isn't it?
I just, ever since the story broke out, I've said to quite a few friends that had to be an inside job. There's no way that these two individuals are going to be able to get out of a maximum prison just like that.
That's right. That's where all the questions lie. How would they have been able to escape? And they managed to come out through a manhole in a particular town. And, you know, they could be anywhere now. It's scary. And, folks, we will be posting their pictures up on the website, and a place to call where you can, in case you see these individuals, they're dangerous. So we'll be giving you the information on this. And speaking of crimes like this, I believe our guest, he was a former retired FBI agent, right, Ruben?
Yes. Raul Salvino is a former FBI agent and former mayor of Laredo, Texas.
Raul, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay. How are you doing tonight?
Good evening. Very well,
welcome
thank you.
To the show.
Thank you very much.
The case we had here recently about we had two escaped felons from a maximum security up in New York State by the Adirondacks. They're very dangerous, and you know,
absolutely.
We're just putting out the alert.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, that's a good question, Ruben asked. But go ahead.
One of the escapees spent 9 years in jail in Mexico for killing another American at a bar in Matamoros, Tamaulipas, Mexico. These individuals are know the street. So, you know, the fact of the matter is, according to CNN latest reports, is that they had some help, which was obvious. You know, for them to be able to do all the work and being able to escape. Obviously, it seems, according to the reports, indicate that they did have some help from a lady who failed to meet them as she had promised. Obviously, she got scared, or I don't know what happened, what made her decide to assist these very dangerous fugitives. But nonetheless, if they're on foot, they're not going to get very far unless they commandeer or hijack a vehicle. But I can assure you that there's enough press out there, enough media coverage, that somebody has to know something. Somebody see something. Somebody said the other night that maybe they would separate, but who knows what these guys are up to. But hopefully they will be caught very soon. And I know that all the law enforcement agencies are working together to make this happen, and it's an all full press to capture and arrest these individuals. They're extremely dangerous, and if people see something, they need to report it immediately to the authorities.
Correct.
Let me ask you. Hold on. I just want to ask one question, and it's really kind of not on the topic, but I was always curious. What type of individual does these heinous crimes, you know? What type of individual does these heinous crimes against another, like dismember their boss like that, or?
Well, they can be psychotic. I mean, they've got some very serious problems. I mean, when you dismember a victim as one of them did, I mean, that tells you a lot about the personality of that individual that really has no respect for life. And these individuals obviously have indicated that they will not be taken. You know, they'll die before they go back to jail. So these are very dangerous individuals, and they're definitely sick. They're psychotic. They're criminally insane.
Well, oh, my goodness. Go ahead, Ruben.
Well, besides the escapees that we've had for these this past week, we also had an incident on the border, Mr. Mayor, where a Border Patrol helicopter got shot down.
They got hit, and they had to make an emergency landing. One of the shots fired hit one of the agents in his vest, Luckily, he was wearing a vest. So this is under investigation. This is not a usual occurrence. It hasn't happened here in Laredo, and obviously you're going to hear that the border is unsafe. But I can assure you one thing, and this is nonpartisan. These are based on FBI uniform crime reports. The border has not been safer than it is now. Obviously, there's been a lot of press. A lot of it has to do with politics, but I can assure you that the most recent FBI statistics show that the border is safe. In Laredo, for instance, 2 years ago, we only had 3 homicides, and none of them related to the cartels, none of them related to the ongoing cartel drug trafficking or even organized crime as far as that goes.
Right, but
we have to be protective of the borders. No question about it.
But my question to you, Mr. Mayor, is that how should we in the United States government, handle this in relation to our relationship with Mexico? Because this is if it's true that they were shot down by the cartels or groups within.
Well, we don't know. It could be human trafficking. It could be drug traffickers. We just don't know. We can't assume. But obviously, they're not good people. Obviously, that's without saying. I think
right.
What we need to do, I think we need to make sure. And, you know, when I was mayor, I lobbied a lot to try to get adequate funding to protect the border. And, you know, why wait until something terrible happens and then you say, well, let's do the funding now? I know that what we need to do, I think, first of all, what we need to do as a former FBI agent, I think what we need to do is all the law enforcement agency, the federal, mm-hmm. the state, the county, and the city agencies have to work together. We also have to maintain good relations with the government of Mexico. When I was at the embassy in Mexico City, we have excellent relations. Let me tell you the bottom line. Ruben, and you know, you and I have talked, but I think the most important thing that we need to have on this side of the border is make sure that we have good intelligence and that the intelligence that we have and the Mexicans have, we have to share it. If we don't have intelligence, we're not going to be able to stop human trafficking. We're not going to stop the flow of drugs. And we're going to be very vulnerable to possible terrorist attacks.
Right. Right. And I think, and by the way, Doreen, I have to tell you that Mayor Salinas, people in Laredo came up to him and they were very happy. And all I heard, it was really good things about the great job that he did for 8 years as mayor of Laredo, Texas. But I have to tell you, Mr. Mayor, that the idea that we someone from across the border, if it's cartels or it's gangs, shooting down and really, you know, it's an act of war.
Absolutely, you know.
I don't know if any other country mm-hmm. would stand still and just say, well, you know. Okay, it's okay. I mean, I think from the president down, they need to take both Republicans and Democrats need to take a tough stand and tell President Nieto in Mexico, you know, this is not acceptable.
Well, I think that it goes yes, that's absolute. You're right on target. Number one, I think mm-hmm. President Peña Nieto and the importance that, you know, Mexico is our biggest trading partner. It's not mm-hmm. only about protecting business, but it's protecting about people. Not only are the people of Mexico are in danger, but we're in danger too. We have to make sure that violence does not spill over. When they start shooting our helicopters, Homeland Security people aboard those helicopters, they start shooting. That is a very serious thing. And we have to hold Mexico accountable. Whether it's
right.
the governor of Tamaulipas, we need to make sure that we're on the same page because that
right.
plane, that helicopter could have easily gone down, and those hardworking individuals on board of that copter, our federal agents, could have easily crashed. And I can tell you, for the grace of God, they're alive, but we have to make sure that we send a direct message to the people
to the president, to the governor, to the government officials, the law enforcement community in Mexico, say, look, you need to get your act together. You need to get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens on one side of the border affects the other side of the border. It's a mutual dilemma for both sides of the border.
Very, very well said.
Actually, Rayo, I want to ask you, big thing of ours, especially with the students on college campuses, is the human trafficking. And because in this day and age, it is so easy to lure, or maybe better term than that, but to get a victim and force them into human trafficking, whether it's labor or the sex trafficking.
Let me just interrupt you for a second, because I want to make sure we understand how serious this human trafficking business is. A lot has to do with child sex trafficking, you know, prostitution. It has to do with domestic service, agriculture abuse, you know, bringing people into work under false pretext that they're going to get all this money, they're going to be able to send all this money back home. You know, and where you get young girls to come with big promise of making big money and reaching the American dream. This is a $9.8 billion industry when you're talking about human trafficking. This is a almost a $10 billion industry. This these statistics were given by a congressman in Virginia. And the president has a task force to monitor and combat human trafficking. But most recently, we're seeing that maybe 14,000 to 17,000 people are trafficked and forced into this is annually. These figures are annually. And like I said, for either domestic service, it can be for child sex abuse, agriculture work, construction, etc. But this is a real serious problem that we're facing, and a real challenge.
Has this problem increased with the internet? Because now you have relative ease; you can lure people through the internet. You know, the escort services, and put make money. Doing through the chat groups and all that.
There's a lot of when you talk about this, obviously the social media is a tool that's used by organized crime to lure young people to face the American dream, and it's a very serious problem that we face in the United States.
Yes, and a lot of our listeners think that this happens elsewhere. That's one of the biggest problems that we're fighting over here.
Well, it happens all over. It happens all over. It really happens all over.
How do we handle the internet? Because my free speech friends say, "Oh, you're trying to shut down free speech with this."
You can say on the internet, you know, being a politician, people can use a false name. They can say whatever. They can completely start rumors. Anything, you know, the social media, because it's difficult sometimes to trace the origin of that message or from that messenger and identify that person is sending that message. It is a real dilemma and a real serious problem having to tackle this. But let me tell you, I think that there's so much freedom in the internet. It's uncontrolled, but one of the things that it amazes me that parental supervision is not applied to a lot of these kids, and the parents don't know who they're talking to. They might think they'll be talking to a young teenager, somebody in grade school, somebody in junior high, et cetera, when they may be talking to a very mature and older person. You see this when you have young girls being lured to go meet this guy who's supposed to be a young guy, and he turns out to be a sex predator. And it's very dangerous. So I think one of the things that we need to do is we need to provide better supervision of our kids and what they're who they're talking to, and make sure that that computer is somewhere where a parent, whether it be the mother, a father, or somebody who's an adult in that house, is monitoring that activity and that that activity that that child has access to in the computer and through the internet.
But can it also happen if the kids use the video games, because that connects to the internet as well?
Well, yes, but that's what I'm saying. But, I mean, I think that, you know, we're too busy in our society. One of the reasons that we have a lot of problems with our young kids is that we don't pay attention, enough attention to them. When we don't pay attention to our kids, maybe they look for attention elsewhere. And this is for the predators, those creeps that are looking to take advantage of some child that's so innocent. And obviously, we need to do a better job of educating the public. And I think that the networks from time to time ought to do some public service announcements to protect our kids. I don't think we're doing diligence, and we're doing due diligence in protecting our kids. We need to do a better job. Every day, even in this city of Laredo, we have child abuse cases, whether it's in schools or, my gosh, something has to be done, because I see it as a crisis. And if we don't take a handle of this, my gosh, that's why we have the problems that we have.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Mr. Mayor and Doreen. I think it boils down, again, to accountability from the parents. I mean, my son, you know, basically I kept an eye on what he was watching and what he did. I mean, as a parent, you have to take the lead. You can't just sit back and relax. You know, being
Ruben,
a parent is a huge responsibility.
Ruben, I think that you have to be very open. You have to be very direct with your kids and let them know that bad things happen, because bad people are on the other side, and they're willing to hurt you and even take your life. To be very direct, not to really scare them, but tell them the truth and show them where maybe some girl has gone to meet somebody and she turns out dead. That's the
right.
real, that's reality. And kids need to get the message. It's you know, on one side, you start thinking that the internet was the greatest thing that ever happened, but there's people that have a good purpose in using that that the computer and, you know, the internet and Facebook, et cetera. They have good intentions, but there's that high percentage as well that have bad intentions, that want to do bad things, and that's where it's our responsibility as parents to protect our children. If we don't protect our children, nobody else will.
I totally agree. I know that we've been covering a lot of the law enforcement, because, you know, having a distinguished career like you have had as an FBI agent, and so we I think we focus on the law enforcement and your background, your experience, and distinguished career. But now, if it's okay also with Doreen, I mean, let's focus on the politics, which is something that you enjoy, and I think we all enjoy. How about that?
Okay, go ahead.
You know, I'm a different, you know, somebody asked me when I go to McDonald's, I consider myself to be a public servant. I've been a public servant for years, 27 years with the FBI. I worked on Capitol Hill as a police officer. I worked for a member of Congress and then mayor. The hardest job that I've ever had is being mayor, because you can't please anybody. When I was an FBI agent, I had a duty to do, and, you know, there was no politics about it. You just go do your job and be fair and be just. But, you know, we're facing a lot of challenges. I think that the politician of today is being watched through a microscope, is being watched through all the media. And I think there are some very good people. I think that, you know, one of the persons that I thought about it very much this week, and I've met him and I've talked to him several times. It's the Vice President of the United States, Joe Biden, a very plain and simple individual, a wonderful man. And he was a great dad. You know that his wife and a couple of his in a car accident shortly after he became senator of Delaware. But he raised Bo Biden. And let me tell you, his son became Attorney General of the state of Delaware, a decorated war hero, you know, in Iraq, Afghanistan, whatever. But he was always so humble. They were talking about it when he got stopped and they gave him a ticket, and he recognized the name Biden. Oh, you're the vice president's son. You're the attorney general. He said, go ahead. You can go ahead. And he said, no, Mr. Trooper, you give me a ticket. Tell me how many politicians would do that. And then I've gotten my share of tickets. I've gotten a lot of parking tickets here in the city doing my job. But we have a very big challenge in 2016, electing the next president of the United States. For me, I see it as a real challenge. You have 10 Republicans. You have 3 already announced Democrats. But, you know, it's incredible because history could be in the making. I think at the very least, there's a possibility that you could have a Latino president or a Latino vice president. It's a very big possibility. But what do we expect of these individuals? To bring hope? To better this country? This country is suffering. You can see the problems that were faced all over the country. Not to bring back the issue of law enforcement, police abuses. You know, what happened in Baltimore, in Missouri, and all these places. But we need a president that will bring people together. I think it's time for U.S. to America to unite. We have all these enemies abroad that want to hurt us, the terrorists that want to, you know, just hurt innocent Americans. We need to have to get our act together, and maybe somebody that can say, I am ready to bring America, all minority groups, everybody together, working together to make this country great. I'm not running for anything. I'm not giving you a political spiel. This is the way I feel. When I was mayor of this city, I worked 17, 18 hours a day because I love what I did in helping some family that was out on the street living in their pickup or in their car, people that are hungry, people that are helpless and hopeless. That's what a politician does. He's a politician naturally, but he or she should be a public servant. And it's important to know where the heck you're going, but it's more important not to forget where you came from. And I think if those ethical standards are applied by those that are seeking to live at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, this country will be a heck of a lot better.
Right. And now that you brought up 2016 presidential race, Lincoln Chafee, a potential candidate to run for president in the Democratic Party, former senator, state senator from the state of Rhode Island, Lincoln Chafee.
Oh yeah.
Lincoln Chafee came out last week and said that Hillary Clinton is too corrupt to be the president of the United States. She has too much baggage. And she's too, you know, the Clinton Foundation, it should be called the Clinton Criminal Foundation. How do you respond as a loyal Democrat and loyal Hillary Clinton supporter? How would you respond?
Well, first of all, it's easy to speak. If he has enough facts, why doesn't he bring it to the Justice Department? Okay? Don't you think that there's a Justice Department that would be willing to prosecute? But I think it's irresponsible to start indicting and convicting somebody without knowing the facts. You know, right now, I think there's a crusade. When you're at the top, they want to bring you down, okay? None of us are perfect. But I think that let the judicial system check this out. You're going to get blamed for everything. Somebody said the other day how popular George W. Bush was, more popular than President Obama. Well, by gosh.
Right.
Obviously, he's going to be more popular because he's not in the threshold. He's not in the hot seat right now. And Bush did a good job.
Right.
President Bush did a good job.
And I think President Obama has done some good things. I think he has his heart in the right place. We may not agree with him with a lot of stuff, but it's not an easy job. Look at him. Have you seen President Obama recently? You saw him at the G7 summit,
mm-hmm.
and look at
yeah.
his hair. It's all white. I didn't have any hair, so I didn't have
right.
any gray hair. But,
right.
You know, they're going to bring everything. You know, she's getting blamed for everything. You know, I think it's irresponsible for Senator Chafee to say what he said without, you know, he's a jury and the judge. He already said it here. I mean, I just, let's get the facts straight.
I would also say that former Governor O'Malley from the state of Maryland said that the United States should not be electing the same people, the Bushes and the Clintons. You know that there's more talented people out there than just those two families. We are not.
I agree with that. But you know what? Why aren't the other people running? It's easy. I really abhor is when people always criticizing. I had people criticizing me all the time. I said, well, you know, I'm doing the best job that I can, and not in a disrespectful manner. I would say, if you think you can do a better job, why don't you go out? But a lot of people aren't willing. They don't have a thick skin. I certainly didn't have a thick skin. They said bad things about me. They said bad things about my weight. They said I was ugly. They said I was this, you know, that I was not very smart. I'm just being nice. I'm not telling you the real story.
But they don't want to throw their hat in the ring.
No. I mean, everybody criticizes, but doggone it, if we have, Ruben, you said it right, you're right on target. There's a lot of talented people. Yes, there's a lot of talented people, but why aren't they willing to throw their hat in the race? You have a lot of people. Let's go back to O'Malley.
No, because all they want to do is sit around and criticize.
O'Malley, part of the problem that they have in Maryland today is because of his ineptness in running the state of Maryland. There's a lot of progressive things that Maryland has done. But, you know, when you're running for office, you're going to, if you're the lead, you're going to say bad things. I have personally met with Hillary Clinton. And when I talk to her, she sees me, looks at you right face to face. She's come to Laredo. I think she will attract very good, talented people. When you had President Clinton, he had good people. When you had President Reagan, you had good, talented people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what you really need. You know, and I think that President Obama has attracted some good people, some very good people. Now, I think the race is wide open. I endorsed Hillary Clinton a long time ago because the Clintons have been good to Laredo. They've been to Laredo numerous times. They understand Laredo. In fact, I invited her during the mayor's conference in Washington to come to Laredo. And guess what? She obliged. And when you mention a family, they tried this in Mexico. President Fox's wife wanted to run for president, okay, the first lady.
Right.
And mm-hmm. guess what?
Mm-hmm.
The Mexicans say, no way, Jose, no way, Jose. It's not going to happen. It didn't happen. So, but it's really up to people. Look, you've got Rick Perry. You've got Rubio, who I think is doing a pretty good job of presenting himself. I don't know that he'll be able to make it. You have Ted Cruz. You have Santorian. You have a lot of good, talented people. So you got Paul. You know, you have a lot of good people that you're going to have. Jeb Bush. You know, people are predicting that it's going to be Bush and Hillary Clinton for the nomination. I think
right.
their mm-hmm. ability to raise money. You know,
right.
I would never be successful
mm-hmm.
in raising money, and money talks. And
the conversation that you hear,
Ruben, is that Jeb is smarter than his brother, George.
But that's the problem,
right.
Mayor. That's the problem.
Well, you got Chris Christie in your state.
Mm-hmm.
The American people are tired of the same people, the same staff, the establishment, people who have been there, who have created these horrific $18 trillion deficits that have been outsourcing jobs for so many years. As a matter of fact, there's another outsourcing agreement right now, the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, that President Obama and both Republicans and Democrats are going along with this, which is going to really do a lot of damage. If you read the agreement, it's going to outsource a lot of jobs, and especially it's going to impact a lot of Americans. Because I don't like to get into minorities and majorities. We're all Americans, so we have to focus on
absolutely.
All Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me just tell you. And you brought a good point. When you pick up the phone and you think you're talking to somebody in the United States, you're talking to somebody in India.
Right.
I mean, have you noticed when you make a call? You know,
yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And if, what's happening to the job? We have people that can do the job here, but the companies also need to pay attention to take care of America first. Shop America first. If we shop here, we make this country stronger. But you cannot give away the store. But, again, one of the serious problems that we have, and I think you will agree, in the United States, we have an average of 20 to 30% people voting in local, state, and federal elections. That's a disgrace. We have men and women who have lost their lives for that right. In Mexico, 40% of the people go out to vote. They just had an election on Saturday. 40% of the people are going out to vote, and you're saying, why can't we do it? And then people complain, and they bicker, and, you know, they just constantly complaining, but they say, no, I'm not going to go to vote. And you invite them to a barbecue, a pachanga, which is a party where you have drinking and eating and barbecuing. People will go there. You have music. But you ask them to go out and vote, where it means the future of our kids, their futures, they're not willing to spend 15, 20 minutes to go to the ballot box. That's a disgrace.
Right. And hold on, Mayor. We have a call on the line, 248. You're on the air. Do you want to ask a question? Hello? Caller 248. Oh, okay, we just lost him. Sorry about that. We just lost him. I apologize, but our the engineers are working on a solution. There's an audio file that has been broken on the radio station, and the guys are working on it. And I noticed we do have a number of listeners, but some of the calls aren't coming through. So, folks, this got to be a little patient.
Well, I just want to make one thing clear. I just want to make one thing clear. I support Hillary Clinton. When I give somebody my word, because I believe in that person, I think she did a very good job when she was in the Senate. You know, she did a good job when she was in the State Department. I know she's criticized for in some areas, but do you know that she was part of the staff here in Watergate on the House side? Are you aware of that?
No, I didn't know
that. She was one of the lawyers in the House Judiciary Committee. And I was there when I was at the same time I was working for a member of Congress there.
But Mr. Mayor, I do have to ask you, and I ask everyone, both, you know, anyone who's running for an office, public office, can you provide me and the audience and our listeners three accomplishments?
Hold on, Ruben. There's the call is back. Caller 248, you're live.
Can you talk about human trafficking tonight, ain't you?
Yeah, I think you missed that one, but go ahead. You can ask the question.
Well, I know you're on another subject, and I don't know what you're talking about, but I want to ask about the Japan issue. They're luring girls over there and making a thing. They're going to be models, and they're making prostitutes out of them, and it's a Japanese mafia doing it. And I was wondering what Japan was doing about it, holding these white girls from America over there, turn them into prostitutes, and they were thinking they're going over there to be models.
Mr. Salinas, who's an FBI, who was a former FBI agent, answer that.
Well, I have, you know, we have legal attaché's offices that where we work with the United States Customs Office that are located in foreign countries. I think that we have to make sure that we share the intelligence. And certainly, if citizens of Japan are victims of these crimes, I think that they would be interested in making sure that they put a stop to it. But again, I think that a lot has to do with being able to target these criminal organizations, this organized crime organizations that are operating out of Japan. They're operating out all over the world. This human trafficking is a matter that that it's not only U.S. and Mexico, Japan. It's all over the world. So we have to do a better job of securing intelligence and making sure that both countries, whether it's United States or all the countries, work together to make sure that we put a stop to this, because these victims are brought in under false pretexts. You know, there's ways that you can monitor, but it's a huge problem.
Okay.
Yeah, and also I want to add to that before we go back is that, you know, when you talk about human trafficking, it's even to be young boys, you know, it could be pretty much anybody. And
yes.
A lot of it is also the child porn, the child
yes.
stuff too as well. So nobody is immune to that.
Absolutely not.
I just want to finish my the question I have for.
Go ahead, let me cut you off.
Eric.
Go ahead.
Can you provide us, me and Doreen and our listeners, three accomplishments that Hillary Clinton has in her career? As both a senator and as a, you know, working in the State Department.
Well, I mean, I didn't work with her directly, but I can assure you that she was able to improve relations with some of the countries. I know that she did a good job in improving relations with the government of Mexico, particularly with her counterpart in the State Department. You know, working on immigration issues, economic issues, I think that she did a good job. But, you know, I'm not equipped to tell you and to find out exactly what her accomplishments are, but I think she did a good job. Benghazi was a very difficult issue. It was a very difficult issue because, obviously, you have people in – haven't worked in an embassy of the United States. You have the regional security officer, RSOs, that are responsible for the physical security of that office, okay? And they're the ones that work with their counterparts at the State Department. So, you know, to blame Hillary Clinton for that mishap, obviously she's at the top, she's going to get the blame. But I think we have to do a better job. And I reemphasize this, Ruben and Doreen, that we have to do a better job of getting intelligence. If we don't have good intelligence, if we don't have good relations with our foreign partners, then we're lost. And I think
mm-hmm.
she did a pretty decent job of creating that environment. I think she did. And she was tough when she needed to be tough. I mean, she's been around the block. I mean, when she was in the House Judiciary Committee, she was part of the upper echelon in getting to the bottom of Watergate. And obviously, she didn't get the credit that she wanted because she was a young attorney. But I can tell you she has her heart in the right place. I think that her efforts in trying to accomplish and reach a consensus on immigration reform, I think she works very hard. And let me tell you something. As close as she came to winning the nomination, I think it says a lot about her work in the United States Senate and as First Lady and as an attorney with the House Judiciary Committee. I mean, I think she's done a good job.
Well, the thing is that they just mm-hmm. did a couple of recent polls on Hillary Clinton's trustworthy. And they found that the American people found a very high percentage, over 50%, do not trust her. Her trust among the American people is at an all-time
right
low.
Well, yeah, but Ruben, let's be realistic. I mean, let's be realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you hear every night, especially on Fox TV, is witch hunt against Hillary Clinton. So you have that spin. Even the New York Times, a lot of newspapers. But
right.
You know, I think she has to stand up to the plate, and she will. There's no question about it. But I think she has to make contact, you know, with the people and prove them wrong. And I think she will.
But do you think that hold on, Ruben, do you think that a lot of this too is because, you know, I don't want to sound sexist, but she's a woman, you know, she might come off different. That's why she gets a lot of this stuff.
You know, I can't say that, but you can, and I can't. Doreen,
that's not
and
sexist
I'm not
going to
patronize
anyway.
You. I'm not going to patronize women of the United States.
But
I tell you,
no,
a lot has
sorry.
To do with that, and I think the reason that Hillary Clinton will succeed will be because women will go out to vote. And it has been proven that more women will go out to vote than men. And I'll tell you, if it's going to be history making, she will be the 45th president of the United States of America.
Wow. And you know, and also, let me ask you this. Is it mostly the single women, you know, that will go and get out to vote, or is it just women in general on that?
I think, you know, I speak to women, and I, you know, and I think it's going to be women from all, whether they're married, whether they're single, white, black, Latinas, Asian Americans, I think they're going to come out and vote, and they're going to come out and vote because it's the time. It's time for women. When we're that close. You know, we thought that we were going to have a woman president before we had an African American, and now the possibilities that we can have a woman, a Latino,
mm-hmm.
in the White House. Wow! At the very least, you know. And I was thinking about this the other day. You have two prominent presidential candidates on the Republican side. You have Marco Rubio and Jeb Bush. Okay? You have them both. Wow. Can you have
one point
president
I want to
or
make
a vice
about
president?
About the Republicans is that they
mm-hmm.
seem to have the stigma about just electing elder white men.
Well, I can tell you I think the Republicans, with all due respect, they need to get their act together and be able to communicate with the people. And I think that was one of the things that Romney, he's a good man, but he just couldn't connect. One of the interesting individuals that always pops up is the Sheriff Joe Arpaio of the sheriff in Arizona.
Maricopa County.
Maricopa County, exactly, yeah. And wow, he's an incredible guy. But he said that the reason that the Democrats want immigration reform is to be able to get the 12 million undocumented people to vote. And that is the biggest fear, I think, the Republicans have, because those folks are going to vote Democrat because they know that the people that have put their boot on their face have been Republicans. They have not been willing to give it a chance. Look, I don't think it's right, and I've been a proponent of immigration reform, going the right way, paying your dues, staying in line, learning the language.
Hold on, Mr. Mayor, because I was getting a text in from some people alluding to the fact that Obama is not an African American. He's biracial, half black and half white. And when we were talking about
the bottom line, he's an American, okay? But in a lot of ways, he has African American blood. I mean, come on, you know. And the media has made him, but regardless, he came through. I mean, he has an incredible history that a lot of challenges that he had. But he's the president, and I respect the president. And but the bottom line, we're talking about 2016. What's going to happen then? But let's go to immigration. Immigration. You cannot have 12 million people living in the shadows. We have a lot of these kids that came illegally when they were babies, to know, unknown to them, that they were crossing illegal. They've gone to the schools. They behave themselves. They become good citizens. Some of them have become attorneys, engineers. They have something to offer. Now, what do we do so they can live here in this country if they've been good citizens? America is a melting pot, and it's a land of opportunity. So, I think that most importantly, that the immigration system is so badly broken that it needs to be fixed. And I remember when I worked on Capitol Hill back in the days where John McCormick, Tip O'Neill, and those mm-hmm. individuals were speakers of the House. My gosh, even Jim Wright. When these individuals finished the business on the Capitol, on the House or Senate floor, they were able to get together and, you know what? You know, joke around and get together. There was conversation between them. They had disagreements, heavy disagreements. But at the end of the day, you know, they were able to work together and do the right thing for America. I think we need to get back to those days. Instead of being so hateful, like when the president was speaking during the last State of the Union, where the speaker would not even stand up and would not clap, even when they were talking about giving women equal pay, when you don't clap at that time, my gosh, there is something wrong, because it's trying to give. You know, I saw that.
No, Mr. Mayor. I remember that very well. And you know, one of the things, and again, the Democrats and the Republicans, they both have their good points and bad points. I'm here to bring out the actual facts. One of the things that happens, you know, when there's a war on women for the Republicans or the Democrats, the truth is that the staff, the women that worked under Hillary Clinton, were getting 30 cents to the dollar. So when we talk about the war on women, most of the information, the research that I've done, has been under Democratic rule, that they've been getting, the women have been getting paid less than men. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is the mm-hmm. fact that when it comes to immigration, the Obama administration released 68,000 convicted illegal
felons.
Aliens.
Felons. Illegal aliens, okay. Or felons? What are you talking about?
Felons. Okay.
Yeah.
So 68,000 of them convicted were released. I agree with you on the aspect of the good citizens, but when we have an administration, and it could be a Republican or Democrat, because both of them have done it, releasing these convicts, how could the American people be supportive of immigration or immigration reform or immigration, illegal immigration reform? None of that will fly if they're doing what they're doing, releasing convicts.
I don't know. I don't know, Ruben. I'm sorry, I have to interrupt
right
here, but where are those facts? 68,000 convicts were released in public. Something happened along the way, because on Border Patrol, you know, when they catch them and they have to do a background, again, I go back to the same thing, that we have to have, you know, Mexico has an old-fashioned criminal history database. They're just beginning. Just when I was there a few years ago in Mexico City at the embassy, they started to get the pictures and prints and, you know, update their data system. So it takes a while. So I think cooperation with law enforcement is so critical Ruben. So critical.
Yeah. Right,
we need to get on the ball, you know, through our State Department or, you know, those liaison services.
I do want to ask one thing here. What's your stance on the Second Amendment? You prefer more gun control? Because right now there seems to be quite a bit of controversy over that, and the right to carry. I know Texas is a much more liberal state.
But the governor just signed a law in New Jersey.
We don't have that.
Well, and the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, just signed a law where it allows citizens to open carry a weapon, even to carry a weapon concealed at colleges. For me, I have a little bit of a problem. I carried a gun for 15 years when I was a police officer, when I was an FBI agent, and I carried when I was in Mexico. Obviously, I could have carried because I had full diplomatic immunity, but I decided not to carry now because it would cause me more problems than anything else. But I think that we need to be responsible. I think the right to bear arms is a constitutional right. But I think most importantly, I think we have to be responsible who we allow to buy those weapons. You know, you can get a weapon in the United States anywhere. I can bet you can go to your community and I can find a way somebody will sell me a gun, right? Through the black market. But it's really not the guns, it's the people.
Correct.
In their possession.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that it's scary. It's a scary thing. I have my doubts about open carry weapons, you know, because you can have a road rage. Somebody just gets out of a beer joint and, you know, somebody crosses over him. And I just have my, that's only my personal, but I think I respect people's rights to bear arms.
No, and I agree.
Hold on.
I agree.
We have a caller on the line.
Okay, go ahead.
248, did you want to ask a question again?
Yeah, on the right to bear arms, I want to ask two questions, but I want to put this aside on the top and then go back. Maybe the open carry, he's right about what he just said. Somebody's in a car, they get mad and they're thinking that's probably the open carry thing ain't good. But I think people should be allowed to have a gun in the house. And people are scared and help.
Can you repeat that?
Can you talk up, sir?
What was the question?
Okay, we lost the call. I'm sorry. Ruben, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that I agree totally with what Raul has said. One of the things that I do a lot of research, and a lot of the cities and a lot of the towns that have gun control zones, like Chicago, like Washington, D.C., have the highest crime rate, killing every weekend. When citizens are not able to protect, I agree with the fact that in the road rage, you know, individuals that have not been investigated, because you need to do an investigation on who's getting a gun. But I think if you're everyone should have the right to be able to, if someone breaks into your house, the right to be, you know, have a weapon to protect yourself.
Right.
And I just don't understand how people can dispute that.
No, I think you have a right.
Okay.
I think you have a 20
seconds to answer that because we're out of time. Go ahead.
I think you have a right to protect your family. There's no question about it. There's no question about it. And I think just to carry a gun because you want to be a big guy, you know, there's also that machismo element that you have
right.
If you have a gun. You're a big shot. I think one of the things that, and I have to be honest with you, when I became an FBI agent, I thought it was cool that I was, you know, I'd gone through 16 weeks of real rough training. All of a sudden, I'm armed. I have authority.
Right.
But, it's going to happen. Let me tell you something. When
on.
It doesn't happen.
Yeah, we're out of time, Ruben. You've got to make it quick.
Well,
we're out of time.
Well, Mr. Mayor, thank you for coming on, and I'll definitely be seeing you soon.
Okay, well, I send you all A big abrazo. That's a big hug. And Doreen, thank you so much for having me. God bless
and
you. And God bless you.
Thank you. You're definitely welcome anytime.
Thank you.
All right. Folks, thank you for listening tonight. And stay tuned when we bring you another great show next week, next Tuesday night. And in the future, by the way, we're going to be talking about subjects such as sociopathy, the dark web, and continued coverage of human trafficking. It's very, very important. So until next Tuesday, everybody have a good night.
Good night.